A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Good. We're going.
All right, let me just record it. Record on this computer. All right, so
should this just be the intro to the episode?
Maybe, yeah. Hello!
Hey, everyone.
It's Failing Metal. How are you, Sean? You're in Holland.
I'm good. I'm in a hotel room in Amsterdam. So I'm just using regular... I'm not using my Flash podcast mic. So apologies. Even.
And apologize.
So apologize to me, first of all, for not being here. And I apologize for not... if I sound a bit weird or crap. Though the hardest thing would be if I sound exactly the same and it turns out I've been using my proper mic all wrong all these years.
Or if you sound better. Imagine if you sound much better now and you've wasted all that money.
Yeah, all that, however much it cost a few years ago. I don't even know.
A couple hundred quid, I imagine.
Yeah.
$800, $900. All my equipment. Everything I own has cost me $4,000, so for this podcast. So I'm hoping you're putting similar capital in.
Of course. How are you, Johnny?
I'm very well. What's going on with me? I've just, things are good. Had a nice week. What about you? You're more exciting because you're in Holland. Do you call it Holland or the Netherlands? I don't know the difference. Do you have being there?
I call it the Netherlands because I think Holland is a different thing and I don't know what it is. I don't know what
Maybe
the difference
find this
is.
Out.
I'm going to look this up. Holland versus the Netherlands. I have a feeling that they like to be called the Netherlands.
Netherlands sounds a cooler place than Holland. It's got a more lyrical, it's more lyrical, isn't it? Netherlands.
The Dutch government officially decided to drop the moniker of Holland. Why? It doesn't say why. It's part of a rebrand. As the country is trying to update its global image.
That's really funny. They've tried to rebrand.
It hopes to manage Amsterdam's over-tourism, which has already been addressed by the country in the form of a ban of guided tours of the red light district. Oh, my God. How interesting.
People going on a guided tour of the red light district probably are perverts. I mean, yes. They're people who want the information so they can go back and, like, murder
100%.
Like that. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we're going to Holland. We're just going on a guided tour of the prostitutes. It sounds so seedy.
It is awful, yeah. That's what's so interesting about Amsterdam, because it's sort of like this incredible historical sort of cultural force of a city, like the history and the galleries and the architecture and, you know, all that stuff. But then it's also sort of like the Las Vegas of Europe, where everyone comes to kind of get messed up. And
it must piss them off. It would piss me off. Because it's you're right. If twats want to go to a place in Europe, they go to Amsterdam. Like, their view of the English must be so bad.
Well, look, I'll tell you this: we went to the we went to the Anne Frank Museum the other day. Me and one of the guys I'm with.
I'm just laughing at the juxtaposition between me being like, "Yeah, people get fucked up," and you're like, "Yeah, I've got an anecdote about this."
No, I've got
the Anne Frank Museum.
No, it's about idiot tourists. And the truth is, I think idiots from all countries come here. I don't think it's just Brits. But we were in the Anne Frank Museum, and there was a fucking hell. I hate this, but there was just this British dirtbag behind us. I swear to God, she was with her boyfriend. I think he was really embarrassed by her. Johnny, I'm not joking. I don't think she knew who Anne Frank was. I don't think she knew who Anne Frank was. And about halfway through, I thought, I don't think she knows who Hitler is. I don't think she knows what any of this is. She didn't seem to have any idea. We climbed up. Have you been to the Anne Frank Museum?
I haven't, no.
I mean, look, it is what it is. And it's really well done. And it's really well preserved. And then, you know, they've basically got a big museum that's built next to the house where the Frank family hid for years. And then you go into the house and you climb up this very narrow thing up into like where near where the attic was. We climbed up it. This woman behind went, "Oh God, I couldn't do those stairs every day. Oh my God." I was like, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do. And then she was just like, "Is this it then? Is this really it? Is this, look at it." Like, I was like, I didn't know what to do. And then they have a sink. I swear to you, this is what she said. They have a sink there and there's a sign there saying, "Please don't touch the sink. This is an original. This is what the sink was." And it's sort of old and it's metal and it's rusting. And she just went, "What are they doing leaving it like that? You know, flash and the dirt is gone. Ever heard of it?" And I was just like, I don't know if I can live with this. Then she started singing "Happy Birthday" to herself. Right. We are in the room. They go, "This is the room where Anne Frank wrote most of her famous diary." She wasn't even allowed to look outside the window. And she's just there just going, "Happy birthday to me." I was just like, she's one of those people. You're with someone who's so thick. And I hate talking about people like that because I don't think intelligence matters that much. But you're so thick that it is deliberate. Like, you're deliberately remaining that thick. Yeah, and it's hurting people. Oh, it was awful.
That sounds very stressful. Were you like in a group with her? Was it a guided tour?
No, it wasn't a guided tour. You just sort of have to go around the thing. And then when you reach the main house, because obviously it's so claustrophobic and you sort of have to follow this route. And then me and the guy I was with, we just went, "Let's just wait in this one room a bit longer and let them go ahead." Because they were so embarrassing. Other people were talking.
On the happy birthday.
Yeah, the guy.
Famously, this is how Anne Frank got caught. An over-exuberant birthday celebration.
She it was really tough. It was tough. She was just at the point where if she'd have been a bit louder or a bit more disrespectful, I think all hell would have broken. Like, I do think I would have said something or someone would have said something. But she
what
was
would you
just
have said
quite
to her?
Enough.
Right, so I'm singing happy birthday to me.
Excuse me. Do you know where you are?
Yes, I'm in Jewish Disneyland.
Okay, I do think this might have been missold to you. So I would say this is the opposite of where you think you are. Jewish Disneyland. Is that what you think this is?
No, I was trying to get into her mindset.
That's probably what she does think.
I was trying to get into her mindset of why you should be singing happy birthday to me.
I just found it fascinating. It's fascinating when sometimes you come to... It's like, where do you need to go in this life to be away from thick British
and
people?
Also,
like, I do feel like that base, that bottom 5% in the UK is worse than other countries' bottom 5%. I do
the
think
firework
that.
In the ass Britain
I
is
do,
a bad Britain.
I think, you know, I think Britain in general, I don't think the people are that much different from any other country, but our bottom five are really bad.
And we've got a real booze culture. I think a lot of people, because booze, a lot of people are just anxious and quiet, and then you give them 12 drinks and they become nightmares. And booze is so, like, binge drinking so in our culture that probably all dregs get pissed and then allowed dregs. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's really, but this wasn't to do with that. This was midday in the Anne Frank Museum.
I tell you what else is a bold shout, is to go to the Anne Frank Museum on your birthday. If, presumably, you don't really know what it is.
I'm not joking. There's no way she knew what it was.
But so she why kept, she kept she went on her birthday? Because it's really sad that she's singing happy birthday to me surrounded by...
I reckon the guy wanted to go, "Oh, let's do it." Like, I reckon he had a mild interest in it. And it's,
so
one, of the big, and it's one of the big tourist things in, you know... And the thing is, it's so well put together, the museum, and then like it's so stirring and moving. And it's just completely undercut by this. And I thought, well, you know what? I suppose, you know, the struggles of the Second World War were so idiots like you would have the chance to do this. But it did make me leave thinking, you know what? A Third World War wouldn't be such a bad thing, you know?
Hitler had the wrong targets, but the idea... not Jewish people or gay people, just really fit cunts. So, Sean started a new fascist party. How's that going?
Yeah, it's going pretty good.
No, I. You know what I think? I'm going to do a new section called John Psychoanalyzes People. That's a new section we're going to do weekly.
I was thinking about this the other day. We should have more sections. I think we should bring sections and games and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I almost got a section this week, so. I'm yeah, crazy.
See, I'd say it's exactly that type of sort of patter that we're looking to phase out of the pod.
I think what's happened. I think we should have a psychoanalysis corner where we.
Okay, do you want to psychoanalyze this person then?
Yeah, well, I think what's happened is she does not want to go to the Anne Frank Museum on her birthday. He has said we're going, and she's resentful of that, and that is why she's acting up. That's why she's singing "Happy Birthday" to me, because she does not want to be there. So she's doing it as a favour, but she feels frustrated that her boyfriend hasn't taken the hints that she doesn't want to go to the Anne Frank Museum, and that's why she's being a bit of a dick. And also why she's sort of ruining your enjoyment of the Anne Frank Museum. So I think psychoanalysis corner is complete. That is what I think was happening in that situation.
All right, let me counter that.
Yeah.
I think you've met that with a lot of compassion.
Yeah.
With a lot of understanding.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's frankly what psychoanalysis is about. It's about judgment. It's about ridicule.
Yeah.
I think... she's on a romantic trip with her boyfriend.
Yeah.
And they've decided to go there, and she has not got the emotional... she has not got the multitudes within her to live outside her life and to live outside her lived experience. And she's not willing to give herself over emotionally to this thing because she doesn't even understand that that's... she doesn't even know that you're meant to do that.
But why...
She may as well be on It's a Small World after all. It's like, oh, I'm on a tourist attraction. Like...
is it harrowing? I guess it must be quite a harrowing place, or like a place where you have to like feel the emotions that we often don't want to feel as humans and realize how barbaric and awful humanity can be.
Yeah, I mean, I mean it's probably nothing compared to going to the camps or anything. I've never done anything like that, but it was definitely it's a very moving, heartbreaking story. And Anne Frank was she's a remarkable figure in history because she was a brilliant writer, an incredible writer. She genuinely was.
Yeah.
Would have been a very famous writer, probably. And in the end, she was a famous writer. Yeah. And then you find out her dad, who like risked everything to save his family, and right as the.
What did her dad do?
Her dad is the only one that survived.
Oh really? Yeah, he did everything he could, did he? But I'm calling bullshit. They're there. I'm off. Heroes never survive.
That is unbelievable. I mean, do you know what? That is an angle that I didn't think of. I'm such a sucker. Maybe she was smarter than me. I've been red-pilled by society. Maybe I underestimated her.
Yeah.
Maybe she was sort of an Alex Jones type figure, and she was like, "Look, you don't see what this is about."
Yeah. Anne Frank's dad got away, did he? If anyone who gets away, there's a reason.
I just want to say that does not represent my view.
I literally don't know anything about it. So how did he get away?
Well, he didn't get away. He was fucking sent to a different concentration camp.
He was sent
to Auschwitz. Yeah, he didn't get away. He run away.
Well, that's why I thought what you were playing. So I was like, maybe they're swinging this.
See you later. No,
fair enough.
But it was right. There's like in the diary, the later end of the diary, they're saying we were listening to the radio today and the liberators are here. So like the Russians and the Brits had got in. And so they were if they'd have hung on like a few more months, they would have made it. All of them together. So it's very moving. Very, very moving.
That is very sad, isn't
it? So I've done that. And then I also, in my hotel room, found these. Someone had hidden these on the top at the back of the fridge. I sort of saw this. They're called the truffles, the magic mushrooms.
Oh! Are you going to do one now?
I don't know what to do with them.
You've got
I just found
them.
It's called Mexicana, Flesh of the Gods.
Is it? Oh, I wouldn't do like. Is the?
I said, do not under any use use with alcohol. And I looked up what they were. They're like truffles.
But why? Are they in a tin or something?
They're in a plastic box, and I think half of them have been opened.
I wouldn't use them, Sean, because that could kill. I mean, fuck knows.
Yeah, I know. I know. What an Amsterdam experience, though. I got into my hotel room and someone had hidden mushrooms at the back and obviously left them there.
There were truffles on my fridge. I did them. I grew another head.
I did them. I ended up going to the Anne Frank Museum and singing happy birthday to myself.
What, have you done any partying, any boozing, any weeding?
I did a bit of, I've done a bit of boozing, but not much. I think tonight's going to be my night. Tonight's my last night.
Oh, really?
I've not had a hangover. I've not had anything like,
that's very impressive.
I've been pretty good. Yeah. It's the first time I've done loads of cultural stuff, really.
Like
I went to the Van Gogh Museum yesterday.
God, you're really nailing the cultural hotspots.
Cause I've been lucky, you know, I've done a lot of gigs in Amsterdam over the years. And I've never had either the time or, I guess, the inclination. I've always favoured the nightlife. Yeah, I know. That was weird. Yeah. I favour the nightlife.
I'm like Batman. I saw you did that panini. You bought panini stickers, man.
Oh, I have top trumps with me as well. I've got early noughties top trumps. Basically, I've got a lot of different plates in the air. I've got a lot of things spinning.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Van Gogh Museum was very cool. Though I have to say, it did make me appreciate the UK more.
Well, why?
Just imperial measurements. But also, that was a little joke.
I get why did it make you?
No, I appreciate it, but because we have equivalent galleries that are free.
Well, how much was it?
€20.
Fucking hell.
And you go, yeah, it's great. It's a Van Gogh museum and it's the greatest Van Gogh museum and there was amazing works of art there. But you know what? In Britain, you can see all that shit for free.
Mm.
Isn't that an amazing thing about our country that we never think about? And every city has got great art galleries and great museums and every city you can go in them for free.
But I wonder if the fact you said we can see this shit for free implies there's some sort of devaluation process that comes with getting things for free.
No, I disagree entirely.
Yeah,
I feel more connected if I go to, like, say, the National Gallery, which obviously I never do. But, but when I have gone and when I've gone to museums, I feel more connected, I think, because I feel like by making them free, you're sort of saying they belong to you. They belong to the public. That's kind of what we're doing with this podcast.
Except for Patreon.
Our Patreon numbers haven't risen.
This is quite frustrating. So last week, we spent a lot of the pod essentially plugging the Patreon via me doing a tour show. And you get free tickets if you become a Patreon member. And since we've released that, there's been not one person who's become a Patreon. And bear in mind, we have been getting decent, steady progress on a Patreon. So hearing you could get to see my show has stopped anyone signing up.
Yeah, it's very interesting that. Patreon.com/failingbetter if you do want to do it. You also get extra episodes.
And you get an hour of my stand-up previous, an hour of Sean's stand-up previous. But still, what do you think about that? Do you think it means that we should put out less content, less free content? Or do you think it means that I just need to be better at stand-up comedy?
Look, I'm glad you brought that up. Because actually, me and a few of the Patreons have been having a chat. We do think you need to get a lot better. I don't know what it means.
Maybe
it must mean something. Or maybe it means nothing. I don't know. But give us from as little as £3 a month. The main thing is you support this podcast, this great podcast that you love listening to.
Mm. I do regret what I said about the Anne Frank Museum already.
Do you really?
But, yeah. I called it Jewish Disneyland and then said Anne Frank's dad was a... essentially, a turncoat. I would get both of those things.
Do you want me to edit those things out?
No, because otherwise I've not said anything. Things I've said have been...
spoken like a true populist nutter. Oh no! I need to say the awful things, and then otherwise I don't exist. And that's what
content
this whole thing's
king.
For.
Content is king. What I'm gonna say, I do know what you mean though about Holland and whether Dutch people hate the like. I remember going to...
I've never said that. What did I say?
That it must be like the Amsterdam are trying to stop tourists, the over-tourism problem.
Well, that's what I said. I just read that on the thing.
But I think I really get that because I do think if I was a resident of Amsterdam, I find it really annoying all the... Like, I went there and I was a twat. I just got hammered and did some... You know what I mean?
I know what you mean, but the thing is I also think... And I loathe as I am to support kind of mad hedonistic people, but Amsterdam, that has always been their big selling point. They've made no secret of that. They've been like, yeah, come here, get fucked up. Like, they love it. So, yeah. I don't know.
Being fucked up and just seeing... I was in the red light district. I didn't realise in the red light district. And I just saw a woman in a window. And it is creepy. It's not nice, is it?
I don't like going there. I don't go there anymore.
Yeah, it's not like... It didn't feel, sort of sexy or thing. It just felt like there was literally a woman in a window, sort of looking quite bored.
Well, there's still a lot of, I think there's still a lot of pretty awful, shady, underhand stuff going on even there. It's not like it's legalized or it's decriminalized, so therefore these women are all safe. I think there's still a lot of basically stuff that I'd say beyond this podcast.
I know what you mean.
Like, I don't know if Failing Better is the right avenue for this.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, it's like any city, I think, now. Every city's over tourists, like major cities. I feel like that about London. I mean, apparently in Barcelona now, a third of properties in the centre of Barcelona are Airbnbs. A third. Yeah, I mean, that's absurd.
Well, they're trying to license it, aren't they? Do you think this has been an interesting pod so far?
Johnny, I genuinely have no idea.
I just suddenly thought we'd just talk. I'm quite enjoying the conversation. But
I'm happy to let you lead this conversation. If you want to talk about your problems with over-tourism in Amsterdam, a subject you seem to be extremely knowledgeable on.
Well, I was saying in Barcelona, there's a huge anti-tourism movement, isn't it? And they're trying to make you have to... Because they're doing it in Edinburgh, aren't they, where you have to apply to be an Airbnb.
Oh, really?
They're trying to like regulate it, I guess. Which I think makes sense because, you know, people need houses to live in rather than just to sort of sell as commodities.
It's that sort of wise wisdom that we've come to expect. You've also come to expect funny jokes. Those hopefully are on the way.
So I'll tell you about, I'll tell you about my Carly Rae Jepsen experience.
It was the concert.
It was a concert this week, yesterday, in fact.
Do you want to update our listeners who haven't heard it yet?
On Christmas Eve 2022, cast back to those days if you can, listeners. I was panicked. I had bought Sophie nothing for Christmas. It was an unexpected thing I hadn't seen coming. So, Christmas, I need to get Sophie a present. I think, right, let's get her.
You know when people say Christmas comes earlier each year? For you, it comes much later each year. You go, what?
I was shocked. How the hell? I just didn't see this coming. I hadn't seen any of the signs. Anyway, Christmas Eve, I'm panicking. I text my friend saying, first of all, I think I should get Sophie tickets to see Pink because she's in the local area. Pink costs £400.
Pink's in the local area. What a way to talk. I think I should get her tickets to see Pink because she's in the local area.
Yeah, Pink's in the pub. But then I think Pink's £400. So I just
she's singing down the Labour Club, actually, Pink.
So I said, I can't do that. So I texted him and said, is there any good music people I can go to get to, Sophie to see? He says, Carly Rae Jepsen. I said, great, buy the tickets. Then I said to Sophie, I've got to go see Carly Rae. She's like, oh, cool. What's she like? Then about a week ago, she listened to her and said, this is shit. I don't like any of this music. This isn't remotely my side of music. I like, what I need to get...
I'm sorry, Johnny, but when you said this story to us before, you sort of implied that she sort of was aware of Carly Rae Jepsen. It seems like you bought a ticket to a pop star she'd never heard of.
On the advice of a man who doesn't know Sophie that well.
And it must be hard because Sophie would have known that Pink was in her local area.
When I said to her, I was going to get you Pink when it was too expensive. No one called me, you can't call me a liar, Sean.
You also can't be saying that to your girlfriend. I was going to get you Pink, but it's too expensive.
I sent it to her as I gave her the tickets. Look, I know you don't know Carly, but I was going to get you Pink, but it was way too expensive. So then she said, look, John, we had a chat where we said, should we still go to Carly Rae Jepsen? And we decided we wouldn't.
You had a chat. I mean, you called a house meeting for it. I mean, that is so bad, Johnny.
And she had to be like, look, John, I appreciate you getting the tickets. In the future, I would like it if you got me something I could enjoy or had any interest in, or if you asked a friend who knows me well so they could offer good insight. So I feel like it was a learning experience for me.
So how much were the Carly Rae Jepsen tickets?
Like 40 quid. But we gave them to a friend, so they weren't totally wasted.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Was she playing in the arena there?
At the place you played. Playing in the same place you played, Shawnee boy.
Carly Rae Jepsen could have sat on the same sofa I sat on.
She probably has, and she's probably gone, oh my God, Sean McLaughlin signed this wall with his own cum, weirdly.
God. Johnny, you're in a very dark mood. It's like having Jimmy Carr on the pod today.
I see that. I am witty and I don't pay my taxes.
Wow.
Yeah,
hello.
Hello, 2018. Nice to see you again.
Nice to see you. I'm looking forward to Avatar 2 as well.
Avatar 1, probably. Avatar 2 wasn't out in 2018, was it?
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm looking forward to it. That's the point.
You think in 2018 people are having... can't wait in 5 years when Avatar 2 comes out.
I had a countdown on my wall. I've been counting it down every day since I saw the first one.
We love Avatar. Maybe we should do an Avatar 2 pod.
Maybe we should just accept that this podcast would be more successful if it was about Avatar.
No, I think it might be.
That's a new section then, because we've got a new section, psychoanalysis, which far you led down a very, very, I would say, ropey road.
I offered an empathic response to a woman having a difficult time at the Anne Frank Museum. I am the hero.
Let me tell you something about the Anne Frank Museum, right? Yeah. A lot of people involved in that museum, both the subjects and the viewers, were having a hard time, okay?
Yeah.
She was having the easiest time of her life.
Sean, are you comparing your struggle wandering around the Anne Frank Museum with the struggle of Anne Frank and her family?
Of course I'm not, Johnny. Of course I'm not. But in the grand scheme of, let's say, what goes from her struggle to the woman who I saw, I'm probably over the middle towards Anne Frank. Look, that's all I'm saying. Okay.
Sean, like Megan Thee Stallion, that is a very big butt.
Oh, Johnny. What? You've been drinking herbal teas or something. You're on fiery form tonight.
I'm feeling pretty hungry. I wish I wasn't so hungry in the Anne Frank Museum. It's a bad place to be hungry, isn't it?
It's not a great place to be hungry, but they do... They have a cafe there, so...
Do they?
Yeah. No, I was surprised as well.
That's so weird.
I was very surprised.
Wow.
They had a gift shop, and I was sort of going...
Yeah, I don't think they should have a cafe or a...
I was wondering what the... But the gift shop only sold copies of the book or different things to do with that. They weren't selling mouse mats, you know.
I've not seen a mouse mat in years. Imagine if mouse mats were... The only place you get a good mouse mat in Amsterdam was the Anne Frank cafe, Anne Frank shop. Just loads of people. Oh, I'm just queuing up. Are you here for the harrowing stories? No, I'm just trying to get my fucking mouse mat.
Yeah, I just need to get my fucking mouse mat. Who's tied up like talking like that?
Me.
Oh, God. I'm not sure about this episode, Johnny.
I know what you mean. I think the problem is we've located our silliness in the Anne Frank Museum, which adds an air of sort of...
So, right, we need to move on then. We need to move forward. We need to bring this podcast back to what its natural home is, which is the planet of Pandora, home of the Avatar, Blue People.
Blue people.
So this is...
Smurfs and the Avatar people related in any way.
Okay, shut the fuck up. We need to get a... You need to save that.
Why?
Because we need to get an intro for this this bit.
I'll do the intro.
Could it be Blue Dabba Dee? Or do you want to make up your own song?
Let's do Blue Dabba Dee.
Okay.
I'm Blue Dabba Dee,
I thought if there was any song in the history of pop music that you would know the lyrics to, it was a song with no lyrics. But even then, you have failed me.
All right, you sing it. You sing it.
I'm Blue Dabba Dee, Dabba Dee. I want you to sing it, actually. I think it's better than...
No, you're right. I'm blue, dabba dee dabba da, dabba dee da da ma, da da dee da da ma. I'm blue.
Okay. Welcome to the Avatar section of the podcast, which we're calling I'm Blue.
We're calling it Unblue. We're calling one blue. What...
Unblue.
Unblue. Unblue. So what is... What the fuck is this? What...
Fuck, am I taking these truffles by accident? Johnny, you need to genuinely get your head together.
You're the one who said, all right, Sean, all I'm going to say is, you're the one who stopped us by saying, right, now we're going to do...
Well, this is the Avatar section. Avatar section. Right. Shut the fuck up. So what's your big view on Avatar?
I wondered about whether the anthropological connection between Smurfs and the people of...
The Na'vi. Have you seen Avatar?
I watched half of the first one.
Okay.
You've watched both, haven't you?
Yeah, I watched the second one.
And what do you? So maybe you should lead this section. What are your thoughts on Avatar as a cultural signifier?
I think it's so crap. I think it's really bad stuff.
That's interesting.
I don't even think it looks good. I think it looks like a video game.
It was one of the first things in 3D, wasn't it?
I guess so.
So I guess that was its USP, but I'm shocked the second one did so well. People are really stupid, aren't they?
Yeah, really stupid.
Because who would like it? Because it wouldn't be like the Trump populace, because the fundamental message is that the white American ethos is murdering the planet. Mm-hmm. Then you'd think like environmentalists wouldn't watch it because it's shit. It's like, who is watching this show?
I don't know. I was on a huge screen and there were five people there. And then you look, you open the newspaper and it says it's made $2 billion.
And to me, that's just a lie. I don't know anyone who's watched it. The first one, it felt like loads of people watched. I watched the first one. But the second one, it feels like everyone's been like, this is dog shit.
The first one was a cultural event in a way that this one has absolutely not been a cultural event.
100%.
But I reckon like in China, it's made loads of money or something.
Because I guess those markets are so big now and we don't...
All you need to do is make money in China and then you're fine. That's like Johnny English.
What have I got to do with this?
Is that your nickname, is it? Johnny English.
Johnny English. Did Johnny English do well in China?
Apparently he did amazingly well, Johnny English.
It'd be fascinating to think, what do you think Chinese people's view of the
well,
UK
this
is?
I love that. What an opening set. Given the form you've been on this episode, when you go, what do you think Chinese people? I go, right, where's Johnny English taking this one?
Johnny English
is taking us both to the Tower of London for disturbing the peace with this podcast.
But do you think, because John English has a very archetypal type of sort of stupid English person, do you think that's the view of English in China?
I've never seen Johnny English. Look,
it's great. Genuinely. You like Avatar. Johnny English is great.
Shall we instead, in future episodes, have a Johnny English section?
Yeah. And then I can even talk about the movie Johnny English, or I can talk about something my alter ego has done that week.
Okay, cool. All right. So do you want to find... What's the theme tune to the Johnny English section?
Johnny. He's not French or Spanish. He's English. It's Johnny English, and he's coming right at your fish and your chips tonight.
Can I just say, Johnny, I want to take back all the criticism I had of how you were composing yourself earlier. I think there was nothing but net there. Sir Swish, that's what I'm going to call you. Arise, you. Sir Swish.
I prefer if you call me Johnny English.
Johnny Ing Swish.
Johnny England Swish. Johnny the Swish England.
Johnny the Swish England. Yeah, that's the one that we'll go with.
There's a scene where Rowan Atkinson is climbing up a sewage pipe and there's a fat man doing a big shit.
Is that genuinely a scene in the first Johnny
great.
English?
It's great. He's being shit on and he's, let me tell you, Sean, he's not happy about it. But
that is like if we wrote a film. That is like what we do. And then a fat person does a shit on them. And they go, what is this film?
Titanic 2.
This is an adaptation of Anne Frank's Diary. Okay, I think we're going to reformat this into Johnny English 3.
Yeah, we do a remake of the pianist called The Triangle Kids.
So you're a big fan of Johnny English?
It's my favourite film.
It's your favourite film? Yeah. Have you seen the second one?
I hate remakes.
Johnny English is your favourite film?
Yeah, definitely.
Is it actually? What is your favourite film? You don't strike me as somebody who watches films.
I watch films and I forget them the next day. The amount of times Sophie says to me, I say, oh, should we watch that? She says, John, we watched it 2 weeks ago. I'm like, oh, sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, I'm
Can we get a Carly Rae Jepsen? No, I've never heard of her or her music. Oh, sorry.
What do you think? Who do you think? If I could get, I might try and get Sophie Moore music tickets, and she doesn't listen to this podcast almost religiously, I'd say. She doesn't have many beliefs, Sophie. One of them is never listen to this podcast.
It's funny that, isn't it? That people get into habits. The idea is people get into habits and routine, and her routine is specifically to not to listen to this podcast.
Absolutely. And she's nailing it. She said, you know,
I'll tell you something. My wife acquired tickets to Beyonce.
Oh my God.
So if you could get that for Sophie, though, I don't know how you're going to get those.
I don't.
Look, I don't know if Beyonce's in your local area. Maybe you could find out where she's drinking.
I'll try and hunt her down. Hunt her down is probably the wrong expression. I'll try and find her.
I'm sorry, I'm just looking up Johnny English now. I'm fascinated by your love of Johnny English.
There's no way I could get a ticket to Beyonce, is there, really? That's a pipe dream.
Well, what? Who else is touring, then?
I don't know. Maybe this isn't... maybe this isn't too much admin for this to be help good podcast material.
There have been 3 Johnny English films.
Yeah.
What the fuck? That's mad. Right, let's look at... Right, music tours UK 2023. Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, in Manchester, please.
Manchester.
But I want one of those cool bands you know about that are like underground, you know, that are a bit shit, but that I can pretend.
Well, if she's
like...
never heard of Carly Rae Jepsen, she's not going to heard of any of them.
No, she doesn't need to have heard. The problem with Carly Rae Jepsen is she's never heard of them and she disliked.
Do you want to take her to see Metallica?
No.
The Arctic Monkeys are playing in.
They're
in
sold out. Sold out.
Did you have a look
Check
at
them?
That?
Yeah.
Pink. Well, you've already made it clear that she's out of your price range. Yeah. Interpol, they're very good.
I never heard of them.
Well, they're very good.
Are they tickets? Do you think Sophie would like them?
Well, what is she into?
She quite likes sort of expletive rap, empowering female expletive rap, and like the 80s.
I would say that she would not enjoy this. I would say that this is not something she would enjoy. I tell you what she could go and see on Friday the 19th at Aintree Racecourse in Liverpool.
Yeah.
The Sugar Babes.
Oh, that I think she might enjoy that.
That might be a good one.
When is that?
Friday the 23rd of May. No, yeah, 19th of May. Friday the 19th of May. Mogwai. She's quite into punk music as well, a bit, isn't she?
A little bit, yeah.
I need to go to some more concerts.
I always think of you as a concert because you're always good.
You always think of me as a concert.
As a concert, yeah. Well, I've seen you. I've seen you at the Apollo. You were very good.
Thank you.
I think we should get off this and try and say something interesting for 5 minutes.
Maybe you should go see. Look, guys, you've got to give us a 5-star review, please.
I think we've got worse at podcasting recently, Sean.
I do as well. I'm really worried about that.
Do you know what's going on?
I don't know. I feel like this might be the start of the split of the show.
I know. I was thinking that. I was thinking because it's like, actually, we've not said anything funny in weeks. And
we said something funny in the last few weeks.
Every time I leave an F, I think, God, I don't feel good about what we've just
released.
Yeah,
I know. But it is just like, pump the shit out, isn't it?
I mean, that's the quiet bit. But then
you should go take Sophie to see Weird Al Yankovic.
That would be fun, isn't it? Yeah,
that would be a really fun show, I think.
It would be fun. When's he playing?
Soon.
Great.
Monday the 13th. He's playing on Monday. Take off for Valentine's Day. Go see Weird Al.
Of December, though, didn't you say?
No, of February. I said Valentine's Day. What is wrong with you, Johnny? Literally.
What is wrong with you? I think... is there anything else we want to talk about? I've started going to therapy.
Fucking good. I hope so. Electroshock therapy, I hope.
Oh, no. That's the worst one.
Do they still do electroshock therapy? Has it ever been suggested to you?
Never been suggested to me. But I think they do it in some places, but I think it's frowned upon. But it's one of those controversial things which some people really still believe in, but I think most of the...
Wasn't it proved to just be terrible for people and make it worse?
And then I think it's come back round. Like, I guess what it used to be, they just used to give you fuckloads of electricity and it'd be terrifying. But now I think they're able to, like, localise that electricity a bit more.
Oh, localise the electricity. Very good. Yeah. I'd love a bit of that.
Local electricity?
Yeah. So you're in therapy. How's that going, Johnny?
Well, I couldn't actually get the... I tried to book an appointment, but it was too expensive. £120 a session. We talked about this on the Patreon episode, but that's too much, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot.
I think that's an unethical amount of money.
I'll be your therapist. I'll do it for free.
Great. All right.
Do you want to do a session now? Do a quick session now. All right.
This is a new section of the thing. Sean's Johnny's therapist for a bit.
What do you think of these sections, by the way? We've got three new sections. Avatar section, Johnny English section, and Sean is Johnny's therapist.
No, there's the psychoanalysis section. The Avatar and Johnny English are sort of... Maybe there's a film section.
Oh, God, there is also a psychoanalysis section.
Also, this might step on the toes of...
But is this part of the psychoanalysis section?
Maybe, yeah. This is psychoanalysis section two. Part two. So, what are my problems, Sean? I struggle to communicate, and I've got a podcast, and it's affecting my self-esteem. What should I do, Mr. Therapist Sean?
Quit the podcast.
Yeah.
Sounds like your co-host is really doing a lot of work, and maybe you've been holding him back.
No, I think the opposite is true.
What's your role within the podcast? Can I ask that?
I'm the creative hub.
Okay. And how does that manifest itself?
I say funny jokes and wise wisdom, and my podcast host sort of takes my humour and my wisdom and sort of nullifies it and turns it back on itself and renders it an unpleasant audio experience for everyone.
Okay. Would you ever do a podcast without him?
Yeah, cool.
Talking
to people as we speak.
Oh, are you? Are you?
Yeah, yeah.
Can I just ask a quick question then? Do you know anything about audio recording or editing or anything like that? Given that your webcam has literally just stopped working.
I feel as a creative, as the creative hub of any podcast I'm on, I don't need to know about technical stuff is for.
And how
people.
Is the promotion on the podcast? Whose job is it to do the promotion, like the social media side?
I feel like jobs. The thing about you, Mr. Therapist, is living quite in sort of early 2000s world.
Okay, you're taking a very hostile view of me. I'm here to try and help.
It doesn't
help
sound like it. It sounds like you're really trying to poke me into a hole.
I'm just asking whose job is it to do the social media and try and promote the podcast. Yeah,
and I'm just saying, why don't you go fuck yourself,
Mr. Okay. Okay. I'm starting to think that your issue is low self-esteem. If anything, I think your self-esteem is a bit too high.
I'm getting quite a lot of transients, I think, because I feel like when I'm talking to you, therapist, I feel like I'm talking to my podcast co-host.
Yeah, well, I feel like it's a lot of... Well, let me tell you something. I'm in a podcast as well, all right? And I shouldn't be saying this because of the relationship that we've got, but I'm in a podcast with a fucking little wiener who's a lot like you. He doesn't pull his finger out.
So I think that was helpful. I feel better now.
Good, good. All great right. Session. I've got nothing else to say, Johnny. And I don't know what we're going to do about this.
I think maybe we have a chat off on air about whether this is the last episode.
But we're getting good listener numbers. People must enjoy this on some level.
But I don't understand how... I feel like for the last month, we've been really shit.
I don't agree with that. You do messaged not. Me the other day saying the last episode is really, really funny. And you've never done that ever.
Oh, it's because but that was because we both felt so low after the last episode.
I think that's the core problem. It isn't that the podcast is better or worse than others. It's more that it puts us through the emotional wringer. And for what?
Yeah, for what? For fucking...
Fucking what? No Patreons again.
For 33 listens on a Thursday.
We did get much higher than that, actually, Johnny.
Yeah, we didn't.
Yesterday was a very high day.
It was a high day. I was on the doobies from noon. This can't go on.
This can't go on.
What I was thinking, I think your section idea is right. I think we need more structure. Because the problem is, we do an hour Patreon when we talk, and then we do an hour of this. And by like hour 30, there's nothing to say to each other. And then
we don't live full lives. We don't live full lives.
I think that.
And even if we do, even if we are living a full life, one of us will say a story, and the other one will take it in some bizarre direction.
Yeah. I feel like there's blame here.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not blaming anyone. But like, say, if one of us had like a trip and maybe had loads of experiences and the other person just went, oh, I actually think, you know.
Yeah, yeah, I see what you're saying. Today we should have spent more time listening to you talking about Holland, because that was an interesting, you could have a unique perspective.
Well, it's ironic really, because obviously the Netherlands are the lowlands.
Yeah.
But in many ways, that was the high watermark of the pod.
I think you're forgetting the Avatar section.
Yeah, actually, the bit, the Avatar bit was good. What was the? What was it? What was your whole theory? Oh, Smurfs and that.
They're
lot.
Both blue. They're both blue.
They're both blue. Blah.
Like your balls, I imagine. Hello. This is so shit. I mean, this is the. I think this might be. This is might be inevitable.
The problem is, I'm in a hotel room, so I have to sort of limit how loudly I tell you off. Johnny's head's in his hands. Now, I want to say, listeners, we've been doing this episode, we've been doing this podcast for months. It's the first time where even Johnny's heads are in his hands and going, what are we going to do? Normally, there's a sort of naive spirit that carries us through these.
And then afterwards, you get the late night shame.
It's such a low, isn't it, afterwards?
Do we need
I feel
sections?
Like I need a shower after this. We both need sectioning.
I know. The problem is, I've got to write a show after this, and I just feel so deflated. I feel like, maybe we don't release this one.
How do we not release it?
I think we need more structure. I think that's the
key. I think we need to just knock it on the head.
I know what you mean. I've been thinking that in the last couple of weeks. Like, is this just a dead project?
But then we do episodes that like do really well. So I know. What do we do? We're trapped, Johnny. We're prisoners in a cell of our own making.
We're trapped by it. It feels silly to let go because we have enough people listening to it that it's sort of good. But then the leap to making it actually good feels so vast.
Well, ultimately, the people that listen to this, and I love you, listeners, we genuinely love you, but you're mentally ill. And the problem is you might sort your problems out. You might sort yourself out. And you'll just quietly stop listening to this, and we won't know, but we'll still be here.
And the podcast isn't helping you. Like actually, if we stop doing a podcast, it might be great for the mental health of this country. Because there might be loads of people on the dregs who are wasting their life listening to shit like this. Stop it. They have to look themselves in the mirror and pull themselves up and change
their
life.
But also, maybe we're the only thing that's stopping them from like joining
that's
a gang.
True.
I mean, it
that
might be they're like, look, there's a lot of temptation around where I live, but if I listen to these boys, you know, I'll learn. Like, yeah, don't smoke crack. This is what you don't want to end up like.
That's true. It's difficult, isn't it? Are we the thing stopping people from self-acceptance and self-discovery and self-becoming self-aware, or are we the people who are holding them all off and falling off the cliff?
Email us at failingbetterpod@gmail.com, and we mean that sincerely. Please email us. At failingbetterpod@gmail.com and tell us, are we stopping you from fulfilling your potential? Or are we the reason that you've still got a life? Because if we get more emails saying, I think my life would be better if you stopped doing this, I think we might have to call this one.
Yeah, I think we are. I'm teetering on the edge again.
It's funny that, isn't it? How it goes in and out.
Yeah, because there was about a month ago, I was really enjoying it. I think the problem is we've done like two or three episodes where I've left going, I said nothing of any worth or value or merit in that show.
Yeah. I think we've done more than that. But we've done more. I felt like that. I feel like that after loads of them. But then I listen to them and they're always the same. They're always the same. So what does that tell you about life?
I don't know.
There's something at the core of this podcast that I think is very philosophical and interesting. But the problem is, it's a podcast being made by two people who are way too thick to ever realise what that is.
It's like a Beckett play. You know what I mean? Like it's really dull.
I didn't even know Rob Beckett wrote plays.
Wow. When he's not parenting, he's writing plays. Yeah.
Parenting hell. How about podcasting hell? We're with us. This is podcasting hell.
Yeah. And you're trapped. You're trapped with us.
We don't even have kids.
Sophie wants kids, and I can't be a parent.
No, you can't. Look, we can't. There's no way that avenue of conversation is the solution to our problem here.
Right. This is. I think we put this out, but again, I'm going to feel awful afterwards.
No, we'll give it a listen.
Give it a listen. See how we feel.
Give it a listen. It'll be great. Do you know what? Actually, the more I think about it, the more I think this is probably the best episode we've ever done.
It's like we both have bipolar.
I just like chatting to you, Johnny.
I like it too. I think maybe we just stop seeing it as a product and start seeing it as a conversation. What we should rebrand as an authentic conversation pod. And then we don't have to say anything funny, which we don't. And I can just spout my hateful bigotry.
We rebrand it as an authentic conversation pod.
But that's really in it.
But what is it? What is that?
This is, I don't know what it means, but it's sort of bullshit like
there are a lot
Oprah.
of com- there are a lot of po- comedy podcasts where it's like they've got big comedians on and they just have very normal serious chats. I just go, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
But then it's like if they weren't doing that, they'd probably do what we're doing, which is fucking doing a section about Johnny English. It's a fat man who does a shit on him. Well, it probably would have been better if we just talked about libraries or something. It's a very difficult life, isn't it? Because you want to be interesting.
Yeah. I wonder if we need the hook of, you know, like we had the hook which didn't work of the self-help book. Maybe we need to find a new hook. It didn't work, did it?
What? We're going to psychoanalyze someone every week. That's a good hook.
That could be a hook.
Someone we've seen in day-to-day life, we try and get in their head.
I quite like that. It's a psychology pod for two people who've never studied psychology. That's the sort of shit people are into.
Look, I think also that's interesting because when you say that's the type of shit people are into, you know, we go in and out on this podcast. I'd still say it's better than a lot of other podcasts.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the thing you've got to forget.
Because at the core of it, we are two people who are very open to the idea that what we're doing isn't good, which I think is the basis of all fine art, you know.
I agree. I think this is fine art.
This is the finest art in town.
You were wandering around Van Gogh's museum earlier in the week. Soon, people will be wandering around that hotel room in Amsterdam going, this is where Sean McLaughlin recorded the famous "Is this total shit and pointless" ep of the Failing Better pod.
Oh, I think maybe it's hard doing the Patreon and then going straight into this.
Maybe we do this first.
Maybe there's no issue and we just stop talking about it.
Well, I think if you were listening to this, you'd certainly be quite irritated by how long we've been talking about whether it's shit or not. I'd have turned off. But if you've not turned off, what are you doing?
That, the problem is the people who've already turned off are the exact listeners that I've more respect for them.
Yeah.
You listening to this right now, you know, the problem is we're grateful for you, but I resent you. What does that say about us? What do you psychoanalyze that?
I think that's a deep self-hatred, Sean. Do you think you hate yourself? Let's end on this. I don't understand anyone who likes himself.
I go in and out. It's like this podcast. Sometimes I'm like, yeah, this is really good. And sometimes I'm like, I don't know about this. And I think just, that's healthy. I think it's like the tide. It ebbs and it flows, Johnny.
That's the most beautiful thing I've ever heard anyone say.
Yes, well, if you only watch Johnny English films, that will be the most beautiful thing you ever say. If you expanded your cultural horizon.
To Avatar 2.
God, I actually do think I'd rather watch Johnny English than Avatar.
Well, that's what this podcast is really about.
What, would you rather watch Johnny English or Avatar?
Yeah, maybe then we put that as a Twitter poll.
What should we name this episode? I need to name this episode after it.
A breakdown in real time.
No, I don't think we could call it that.
From Anne Frank to a frank conversation about whether this podcast should continue.
A frank conversation is a very good title. Yeah. That's a very good title, Johnny.
Thank you.
A frank conversation.
Yeah.
Don't say thank you, because really, your suggestion wasn't that. Your suggestion was from Anne Frank to a frank conversation about whether this podcast should continue.
My puns always go on too long.
Yeah, you over-egg them.
I often put brackets into my puns.
Yeah, the idea of puns is usually very quick wordplay. For you, they're almost like epic poems.
An essay. In this essay on puns, I will do a pun. Anyway.
In this essay on puns, I will do a pun. There's not even a pun there. There's no pun.
Sean, I've got the perfect way to end this podcast. I found my dissertation abstract the other day, and it's one of the best written things of it. I can't understand how I've got so much thicker than I could have ever imagined.
Which essay? From university?
Yeah, it's my master's thesis.
Oh, please, we'll read that in the next episode.
All right, yeah.
Master's thesis?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd love that.
And it is, it's genuinely, I don't understand what I'm talking about.
Just so the listeners know, Johnny's webcam is absolutely flipping out right now. Can you turn it off and turn it on again? I can't see you.
Oh, sorry, I can't. I was just using the internet, which instantly breaks it.
That's reassuring for a podcast that's recorded on Zoom.
Stop video.
Is your laptop voice activated, or do you just have to say it when you?
I just have to say it.
Yeah, I thought as much. Right, I need to get going.
All right, great.
Let's webcam's gone again. This is infuriating, this episode. We're going to listen to your thesis. It's happened again. We're going to listen to your thesis. Next week, we're going to listen to your thesis, and we're going to figure out what it is.
Yeah.
And we're going to have more psychoanalysis of people.
And we're going to talk about Johnny English.
I'm going to talk about Johnny English. And we're going to talk about Avatar. And Woo! We're going to get to the bottom of this thing. Patreon.com/failingbetter for more of this for money. What a bargain.
What a bargain.
And genuinely, thanks, and listen and subscribe if you've enjoyed it. And if you haven't, then just please don't tell anyone that you don't enjoy it.
Perfect. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Bye, everyone.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.